Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Now, it's a crying shame and a lingering national embarrassment that more than 66,000 primary school pupils were in classes with 30 pupils or more in the last academic year. That's according to a teachers' union. Department of Education figures show 2,120 classes had 30 or more pupils last year, with some in County Monaghan having 39 students and other in the south and west having 38. General Secretary of the INTO, the National Teachers' Organisation, John Boyle, is on the line now. John, good morning and welcome back to Kildare Today.
Thanks very much, Owen.
A crying shame. It's something we have discussed on the programme before. People will know that the time or the experience of having large classes is gone, really. We should be teaching in smaller classes, and that's, I suppose, what the unions are calling for.
Yeah, and it doesn't give me any pleasure now this morning, Owen, to be coming onto your programme talking about the national stats. The last county stats we have showed that Kildare was actually at the top of the league of shame at an average of 24.7, which is nearly 5 children over the European average, closely followed by, we have listeners in Meath as well. So Meath was at 24.6, and we had Carlow, Westmeath, Louth, Dublin, Wicklow and Waterford, counties like that, all over 24. And that's at a time when the government was actually providing every school with a teacher for 25 or 26 children. Now, that has reduced in the last two budgets. I'm on a mission in the role that I have here as INTO General Secretary to stop talking about this. I would love to be able to go onto your programme this time of the year before the budget discussions, not to have to talk about class size. And there's an absolutely amazing opportunity for Taoiseach and his government to put an end to this scandal now, because it would only cost them 10 million euros out of a budget of 6.7 billion to bring class sizes down to the European average. All they have to do at this point is to bring it down by 2 points. Now, they have been bringing it down by one, but I suppose this is the difficulty. They're so slow to grapple with it that we then find that they have a get-out-of-jail clause in the circular for staffing that says, look, try to get them as low as possible, but yourself, if you have contextual factors like, the size of the classroom or fluctuating enrollment, sure, fire on ahead, we don't mind if they're bigger. Mm. And, the current Taoiseach, when he was Minister for Education, he made a pronouncement that having overcrowded classrooms should not be part of a modern education system. That's 23 years ago. I think he needs to make another pronouncement in the budget coming up to say that class size can be reduced by 2 children down to the European average of 20, and that there has to be a maximum after that of 25. He brought the maximum down from 35 to 30 when he was minister himself. It needs to be brought down, and then it gives a little bit of flexibility maybe for a school who has a small classroom to have a few more children in the big classroom and a few less in the smaller one. Mm, so that's our ambition now for the budget on.
Yeah, the pupil-teacher ratio, as you say, John, was due to reach a historic low of 25-1 in the last academic year, though it's still way off the EU average, which is 20-1 or around 21-1 or thereabouts. How is this impacting students? Because everybody learns in different ways. Some students move faster than others. Some obviously move slower. It's important to have that connection with the teacher in a classroom.
It is, of course. And the most eminent report on this issue is the OECD Education at a Glance report. And it has said that there's very obvious negative correlation between the size of the large classes and the ability of children to learn to read. So, that's a basic going to primary school that you would be able to read. But you're absolutely correct, Owen. The classrooms that we're dealing with nowadays, they're very, very complex. We had a furore over the summer about a small number of children with special educational needs in Dublin who didn't have a special class. But the minister who was talking about that at the time seems to have forgotten that the vast majority of children with complex needs are actually in a mainstream class in an ordinary school in County Kildare or Meath or Louth. they're in the school, in the class with the rest of the children, and unfortunately they're totally overcrowded. So when you have children with all these various individual needs, you have now children coming into the country from Ukraine who don't have English as a first language, their best opportunity to get equal treatment with their European counterparts is to be in a class of 20 or less, and then in a disadvantaged school less again, because that report also suggests that if you're in an educationally disadvantaged area, that you need smaller classes, even below the 20. So there's no doubt that, you know, for a modern education system to deliver the curriculum that we're now developing, we're going to have to get down to European average to give our children. And after a pandemic, you know, it was so embarrassing. Like, that's why I mentioned embarrassing at the weekend.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing that we were the only country across the whole of Europe that had sent out maps out to the various teachers to show them how to shoehorn children, 30 or more children, into small classrooms. That didn't happen anywhere else. And I suppose the impact of the pandemic is still there. And we see this as part of a post-pandemic recovery plan, that the government would invest the 10 million to get it down by 2 children this year, down to the European average. And then you won't have to be talking to me about this next year. You can talk to me about all the other issues in education, the funding for the capitation grants for the schools that have the energy bills going up, the support for principals and all those other things that we're also keen to progress.
John, what about, and just finally, the counter-argument here would be that, you know, last year we saw the employment issues within the education sector, the amount of teachers that were needed to be drafted in, substitute teachers. There was even cases where apparently SNAs were teaching classes as well. If you have a classroom of, say, 38 or whatever, you're going to have to split that into two classes, creating another class. We don't, it would seem, have the teachers at the moment necessary to teach the amount of classes we have at the moment. What if we were to make more classrooms? Where are we going to get the teachers from?
That argument is actually quite easily answered on. First of all, there's no doubt there was a substitution crisis last November particularly. And at that particular time, we pressured the government and minister. The minister put in an extra 200 supply panel positions, and they're being retained for next year. No, the easy answer to this is that the demographics in primary schools have been reducing for the last number of years, and the big reductions are happening next year and the year after. So basically all the minister would have to do is to keep the number of teachers that are there at the moment, and by keeping those teachers and dividing them into the smaller number of pupils in our schools, the class size would fall automatically. Now, your question about then the very large class of 38 and if we were hoping to get it down to 20. Well, first of all, I don't see any case to be made for having a class of 38, and I think that boards of management need to become stronger about this particular issue. If you're in an area where you're going to be oversubscribed, say at junior infants, you're going to have to say that, you know, we're full. And the government doesn't help them with that because of this get out of jail clause I mentioned in the staffing circular. So a school may have a class of 38 up in fifth or sixth class. They'll have to naturally see their way out of the school. But our objective is to make sure that from next September, 12 months, that every class in Ireland will be based on giving one teacher to the school for 20 children, and then there will be some little fluctuations within that. But at the moment, giving one teacher for 24 children is just simply so far out of kilter with the European averages. So I'm not worried about the teacher supply issue. Obviously, if the COVID pandemic were to continue and there was going to be teacher absences because they contracted the disease or had to self-isolate, we would be under pressure again. But we have 2,000 young teachers coming out of the colleges of education this year, and only 600 or so retirement. So there should be an excess of teachers. But the unfortunate thing is that some of these teachers, because of the low pay rates, are leaving the country and going abroad in their initial years. And that's another an argument for another day, I suppose.
Absolutely. Well, the data was provided to Sinn Féin education spokesperson Dunica O'Leary, who said the quality of education received by too many of our children is being affected by high class sizes. He said there were around 208 classes with 30 or more pupils in the Cork County Council area. area, and other areas with high numbers included South Dublin County Council 142, Galway 108, Meath 113, and Limerick 106. He said these figures are shocking. In 2021, there were classes with as many as 37 pupils in Louth, Mayo, Meath, Offaly, and Wexford, while classes of 38 in Cork, Limerick, Galway, and Laois. Those figures are quite high indeed. General Secretary of the INTO, John Boyle, saying that those primary school classes, the large classes, are a national embarrassment. John, thanks for joining us on the programme and good morning to you.
Now, on Friday, we heard the news that Pinergy, they became the latest energy provider to announce an increase in prices. They raised their prices in 2021 five times, believe it or not. Head of communications at bonkers.ie, Dara Cassidy, does join me this morning. Hello to you, Dara.
Good morning, Ciara.
So Pinergy's increases, was it much of a surprise to somebody like you because they had, you know, so many in 2021?
Not at all, unfortunately. We're back in a period of rising prices again. We're in the middle of an energy crisis. That's not an overstatement. As you said yourself, Pinergy raised prices five times. They've held off this year until now. But it's another pretty significant price hike. They're putting up the unit price of Relay Christie by 18%, but also their standing charge by 30% and their prepaid meter charge by 24%. So all in all, what it means is that the average customer is looking at paying around maybe €375 a year extra for the electricity, but that's just obviously this increase. When you take the other five increases from last year into account, the average customer is looking at paying maybe €1,100 more for their electricity. So it's a huge hike. It's a huge amount of extra money that customers need to find.
Dara, why would an energy provider do something like increase their prices five times in 2021? I know, you know, lots of people would be saying to get more money, but it obviously does put off consumers and or customers from signing up with a company like that to hear five increases in 1 year.
They've no choice, really. Like, oh,
could they not do more substantial increases each time if they need to increase? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're right, but I guess they have to follow the price of the market. They're a small enough supplier that maybe they can't, get through the peaks and troughs of some of the other suppliers. But the price of electricity, the price of gas, as we know, partly due to the war in Ukraine, although, mind you, gas prices were beginning to rise before the war in Ukraine kicked off, they've risen to absolutely astronomical levels. The price of gas in wholesale markets is anywhere from maybe 10 to 12 times the level it was at maybe around 18 months ago. And then because we use gas to generate so much of our electricity, that then has a big impact on the price of our electricity. So the price of electricity, Ciara, is fluctuating wildly, but it's going really one way, and that's up. And then therefore, smaller suppliers like Pinergy probably feel like they have no choice but to pass on the price increase. And the same way, you could go into the shop and you might see that the price of bread has gone up maybe two or three times over the past maybe a few weeks. With the way things are, a supplier increasing prices five times over the course of maybe, you know, a year actually isn't really that unusual, that unprecedented. But the thing is, we're probably going to see more price increases, Ciara. I don't think this is the last one.
So if you look from January 2021, Dara, the energy providers across the board, how much of an increase will people be seeing on average of their electricity bills over a year since those increases began?
It's pretty hefty. So the average electricity bill is probably going up by maybe €800 to €900, whereas the average gas bill is probably going up by around maybe €700 to €800. And that's the average. Now, with some suppliers, it's a lot higher, particularly the smaller suppliers. With some of the bigger suppliers, it's a little bit lower. But that's a lot of money. And if you're a top-rate taxpayer, for example, you'd need to be finding maybe €3,000, €3,500 just to pay for the increase. Because as we know, if you're a top-rate taxpayer, anything over around maybe €35,000, €36,000 gets taxed at 50%. So big hikes, probably more in the way, as I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw prices go up again by, you know, maybe 10 or 15% over the next few weeks. And it's not just, of course, Pinergy that's raising prices. Electric Ireland just increased the price of its gas and electricity, and Flowgas and Panda Power have announced price increases that come into effect over the next week or two as well.
Yeah, if you look at Electric Ireland, that's a further increase of €477 for gas and electricity. That's the fourth price rise for them in a year and a half. So what's it looking like? Winter's coming, you know. Yeah. What's it looking like for the next, you know, five, 6 months?
It's looking expensive, and it's probably looking bleak now. When you look out the window this morning, and there's beautiful sun shining, and
I know, I wish we could trap it.
it's tough to think that we're going to be, you know, worrying about energy bills in a few weeks' time, but we probably are. There's a lot of talk as well about maybe rationing and not being able to.
Okay, I want to stop you there. Rationing. What does that mean to someone like you? Because it's a scary word to hear something like that.
Yeah, I don't think here it's going to happen. I know the media has jumped on this. I do think we'll get through at least this winter okay. I do think if rationing has to take place, it will be bigger businesses and industry that may need to cut back on their energy use. That's not to say that it won't impact us. So, for example, if a food plant or maybe a car plant or a manufacturing plant has to cut back on its output, that might affect us indirectly down the line when we try to buy those goods and services. But I don't think we're going to wake up one day and try to turn the lights on and find out that we're in darkness. So I don't want to really alarm people, but that's not to say that that won't happen. But I think I'm more concerned about the rising prices, Kira.
So, I appreciate you don't want to alarm people. Nobody does. But, you know, you're saying it probably won't happen, but that's not to say it's not likely.
Yeah, no, but it can't be ruled out. We don't have a direct exposure, thankfully, to Russian gas. So most of our gas comes from our own reserves and via the UK, which in turn gets its gas reserves from its own fields, its own gas fields in the North Sea and also Norway, and it has a little bit of liquefied natural gas as well, which it imports. So we don't have a direct exposure really to Russian gas. If Russia turns off the gas taps to the rest of Europe, in particular Germany, which it's doing at the moment, and Poland and those big countries, and they go looking for gas elsewhere, for example, to Norway, that could put pressure on maybe our gas supply. So we just don't know what's going to happen, to be honest. It depends if it's going to be a particularly cold winter. I think Germany would be more impacted than us because it's such a direct exposure to Russian gas.
Right.
Like I said, we have our own
field. So, Dara, I guess, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Control the controllables. What can you give advice-wise to our listeners, I guess, to have as possible low prices come this winter? Like, should they be installing things? Should they be using different things in their household? Should they be turning off certain radiators? Should they be bringing in things like electric radiators? You know, people want to know what they should do.
Well, there's a few things just in terms to mitigate against the cost. Obviously, there's switching supplier, so you can still get a good discount by switching supplier. You can get a discount of maybe up to 40%. This will take the sting out of the rising energy prices, because if there's one year that you don't want to be paying top dollar for your gas or electricity, this is the year. The second way is look at ways that you yourself can reduce energy demand at the home to try and lessen those bills and to put less pressure on the grid, because we're all in this together. So the SEAI, the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, on our own site of bonkers.ie, we've lots of little tips on how you can use less energy in the home. A lot of them will be quite familiar to people. And I know, Kira, sometimes when you mention these things, people kind of, you know, roll their eyes a little bit. But really, this is the year that we need to double down on those energy-saving things, such as, you know, just turning off the lights when you leave the room, unplugging appliances, going for cooler washes, tackling drafts, things like that are all really, really important. And if you have a night saver meter or a smart meter, look at maybe using your energy at times when it's less expensive to buy. So obviously, it's not with a night saver meter, that's using your energy at night. With a smart tariff, that may be using your energy at various other times during the day. And of course, check maybe if there's any social welfare payments that you might be entitled to. So whether it's the special needs allowance, the winter fuel allowance, and so on, just check in if you are struggling badly. And then also some suppliers as well have hardship funds that they've set up. Electric Ireland has one. I think SSE or Tricity has one. But just check in if you're struggling, as there might be some assistance there. So those are the things that people can do, certainly to try and mitigate the impact from rising prices.
Okay, well, thank you so much, as always, for joining us here. That is Dara Cassidy. He's the head of communications with bonkers.ie. And Charlie Weston wrote on Friday in the Irish Independent that hard-pressed households here in this country have faced 58 energy price hikes. That's in 18 months. And households are expected to fork out an extra €1,500 per year. That's on power and heating bills.
Right, let's return to that issue in Selbridge that we covered on the programme on Friday, where parents in the town have lost school bus places for their children less than 30 days before the new school term begins. And Labour councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Ciara Galvin, is on the line again. She was with us on the programme last Friday. Ciara, good morning. Just remind us what the situation here is and what you've heard from parents affected.
Good morning, Owen. So what I've heard is that last week a number of parents were informed that they'd lost their school bus places. Now, many of these parents had been relying on the school bus for years to get their children up to the primary school in particular. And in one case, we had one parent who one child had been allocated a place and the other hadn't, which made no sense. And then another case we had was that one parent had lost the place for her child, and she doesn't have a car, so she has no idea how she's going to get the child to school. And this is all happening, of course, in August, as you said, less than 30 days until the start of school. So that was the situation that I advised the parents to appeal the decision, first of all, and then and also to contact the media, such as yourselves, and to try and make as much noise as we can, really, to draw attention to this and hopefully get it resolved.
Yeah, so after the programme on Friday, I contacted Bus Éireann, sent them an email and said on this morning's show we spoke to a parent from Selbridge who lives under 3.5 kilometres from her local school, the North Kildare Educate Together. She said she'd been told that both her son and daughter would have a place on the school bus. However, only a couple of days ago, she was told that because of the random lottery system, one child has now had their place cancelled or hasn't got a place on the bus. Both she and her husband work full-time, and with less than a month to go until school returns, they're struggling to come up with an alternative option. She's not the only one in this situation, as other parents have been in touch to say their child's place has been cancelled, leading to upset and panic. They also say Bus Éireann have not given a reason or justification for the decision on cancellations, just an email to say that the decision was made. I understand that the Minister for Education's announcement of free travel will have increased the pressure on transport, but we'll be returning to the issue on Monday, and I would like to extend an invitation to Bus Éireann to provide a statement to the programme. That was sent on Friday, and as of this morning, we haven't heard back from Bus Éireann, apart from a confirmation email to say that they had received it and they would look into it. You also got in touch with Bus Éireann, Ciara.
I did. I contacted their Oireachtas liaison team who deal with public representatives, and I also emailed their chief schools officer directly. And I did hear back from the chief schools officer, but it was more or less the same response as you got, that that they acknowledged my email and that she is looking into it for me. So I think it's just a case that the demand outstripped the supply for this, which is great on one level, because we do want more children on buses. But at the same time, the way they went about it, and people who've been using the service for years suddenly, and paying for the service for years actually, suddenly not getting a place on it. It's the opposite of what was intended by making the school transport free. It was meant to relieve the financial burden on these parents. It wasn't meant to, increase the pressure on them 3 weeks before their children go back to school.
Yeah.
So I've also, I was in contact with our education spokesperson, Labour TD, Aon Reardon's office, and he sent a parliamentary question into the minister about it. Now, it is August, of course, and we've no idea how long that's going to take to get a response, but sure, we'll keep on at Bus Éireann and at the minister until hopefully we get some sort of resolution to this. I mean, it's a fairly simple fix, though, as you know yourself. They just need to run a bigger bus, or they need to run another bus. We have about six families who've been in touch, and there's probably way more that haven't been in touch, and that's at least 8 or 9 children, so that's half a minibus there.
Yeah. And as I said, I completely understand the pressure that the announcement of free transport would have put on companies like Bus Éireann. But whether or not the right decision is being made to cancel some people who had already been, told they would get a place. And as you say, one particular family whose son is guaranteed a place on the bus and the daughter doesn't have a place on the bus, it doesn't make any sense at all.
They need to review that policy in general, because if they're allocating it by lottery, then it doesn't make sense not to pair siblings together.
Yeah.
Because if one child gets a place in the bus, then the other needs a place in the bus, or they can't drive one child to school and not the other. It doesn't make sense. So that's really the real issue here. It's probably a case of underfunding and also just a poor policy of allocation by lottery.
Yeah, and we've passed on the parents' names to Bus Éireann as well. They asked for those names so that they could look into it further. We have done that. And as I mentioned on the show on Friday, if there's anybody else who's been impacted by this situation in Selbridge or anywhere else in the county, do get set in touch with us and we'll follow up on it. But for the moment, that is Labour councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Ciara Galvin, with that issue in Selbridge. Thanks indeed, Ciara.